section of scripture we've got for this morning is 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. In the translation of the Bible that I often read, this section of scripture is titled Paul's Desire to Visit Them Again. So I had a quick look on the internet, and they tend to think that Apostle Paul was writing this from a place called Corinth. I don't know if anybody knows their Greek geography, but Paul came over from what we call modern-day Turkey and went to Philippi, then to Thessalonica. And so, of course, this is about the Thessalonians. And then he went to a place called Berea on the coast, and then down to Athens, and then Corinth. And so it's a bit of geographical background. And so Paul's, he desires to visit them again. First of all, before we get into the scripture, there's just a few phrases that that I, in the Bible that I read most often, it's just a few phrases that I wanted to go through. Now, your preferred translation might be a little bit different, but it just goes to show, I guess, a demonstration of how we look at the scripture and we let the scripture interpret the scripture. And the first phrase is in verse 18, and in this Bible it says, Satan would not let us. And that Satan's not omnipresent, so he doesn't can't be in multiple places at once. And so another section of scripture that talks about the kingdom of darkness would be when a woman was healed, and the scripture says that she was bent over, and a spirit somehow was involved in this, and caused this infirmity. And that's what the Bible specifically says. It says the spirit caused the illness or had something to do with it in some way. And Jesus talks about this instance as well after he'd healed her, and he mentions how Satan had kept this woman bound. So, you know, like, so often when the Bible's talking about Satan, might be, or it's mentioned, it's a generic sort of thing, so to speak, if you know what I mean. Like, as in, it might not necessarily be specifically meaning Satan. And sometimes another instance that's got, it has to do with, Jesus mentioned a person, and they had thoughts that didn't line up with the will of God. And so Jesus mentioned that about Satan sort of being involved, but actually, and the Bible also says it was the person's or thinking and what they were saying, the way they were behaving. And it doesn't necessarily mean that Satan was involved, but this instance I'm thinking of now is about Jesus going to the cross, and so Jesus had to go. It was the will of God, but this person didn't want Jesus to go to the cross, and I can totally get that. You know, like if you were with Jesus, such a loving guy to be around, and a nice guy, and a genuine guy, and a pure guy, no evil intent at all at any time. So if we were right there, then we wouldn't want him to go to the cross, like from a human perspective. But that wasn't God's plan. So the next phrase is your faith. And the thing here to do with your faith, see, God's given us each a measure of faith. And It's good to remember that this faith is a gift from God. It's given to us. You know, when we give out a gift, we don't own it anymore. It's given to the person and they own it. And same with faith. It's given and then, you know, and we exercise it and it's a gift. So that's in chapter 3, verse 2. Next phrase is chapter 3, verse 5. The devil tempted you. Well, I guess that's similar to the previous phrase I mentioned where it says Satan would not let us. Because the devil doesn't really care about Murray Hewitt or Caroline Hewitt or any other person in this room that much, in a sense that he's after people like Joe Biden or Xi Jinping or Vladimir Putin, because they can influence lots and lots of people, and so that's more the sort of you know, people who've got lots of influence. So the devil doesn't really tempt us, and in James it says we're led away by our hearts, you know, but sometimes a spirit might give us a thought that's tempting, but don't forget it's temptation is temptation. It's not sin, and it's normal for all of us to experience. So that was another phrase, the devil has tempted you. Last phrase is in verse 13. It says, will be perfect and holy. So the word perfect here has the meaning of complete or made complete. So getting back to our section of scripture now. Paul, Silas and Timothy are longing to go to Thessalonica to establish the Thessalonians in their faith. As someone said to me recently, it's exciting to bring the transformational good news. That's the gospel message, the message that brings salvation to everyone who believes. And when people do believe, you know, and they're growing, and well, that's exciting being involved in that and helping people to step out in what God has for their lives. So here, there in Thessalonica, there's these new people who have joined the family of God. And Paul, Silas and Timothy care for the Thessalonians. And there's a comparison of their care in chapter 2. It says, like a mother caring for her children. And so Paul's comparing himself here, and Silas and Timothy, like, you know, like mothers caring for their children. I think it might say in some translation like a nursing mother. So this section of scripture is very much about pure love that the team had for the believers in Thessalonica, and this love is given to Paul, Silas and Timothy by the Holy Spirit. I recently listened to a message about lies that people believe, and some of these lies were to do with the redefining of love, to make it into a more of a self-centered thing, you know, not a pure thing or others-centered, but a self-centered. And often it's got to do with a feeling as well. When people talk about love, it's not really a biblical definition of love. And just out of interest, some of these lies were: love is affirming everything I feel. Love is what I feel when I'm okay. And the second one was, if I believe it, it must be true. That's sort of, I guess, putting yourself in the place of God in a way. We know that truth is real, and truth lines up with reality, and it's absolute, and it's got nothing to do whether I believe it or not. Another one was follow your heart. some message often, especially in kids get in Disneyland. Another one might be, you are the one you have been waiting for. Where's God in that? And even Jesus asked God to help him, and he was sinless. He always prayed to the Father. A good God wouldn't judge. There's another thing that's not true. We know, for God so loved the world, and God can't love the world if he turns a blind eye to injustice and sin. So in a sense, because he loves so much, he has to judge the world. Otherwise, he wouldn't be a God of justice, if you understand my flow. And just another last two were, faith is the opposite to knowledge. We know that's not true, because faith is believing true knowledge. And that true knowledge sometimes we mightn't see, but we know it's true. It's about believing facts. Faith is about believing facts. And the last one on this list was, humans are a product of evolution. And it's a lot that depends on how you understand evolution, I guess. But from gunk to a person, that's not the way God planned it or made it. Lies keep people away from truth, and they even stop people believing truth. Anyway, let's get on with truth and read our passage from the Word of Truth. And I'm going to start with 1 verse 1. From Paul, Silas and Timothy to the people of the church in Thessalonica who belong to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be yours. So to the people of God, to the people of the church in Thessalonica. Well, I don't know that they had a building that they met in. Often they met in different houses. The word for church there is ecclesia or gathering, like we gather today, but it hasn't got to do with a building. May grace and peace be yours. And this section, like as I mentioned, starts in chapter in this particular version. It's got a break at chapter 2, verse 17. So I'll read on from there. As for us, brothers, when we were separated from you for a little while, not in our thoughts, of course, but only in body, how we missed you and how hard we tried to see you again. We wanted to return to you. I myself tried to go back more than once, but Satan would not let us. After all, it is you no less than others, who are our hope, our joy, and our reason for boasting in our victory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes. Indeed, you are our pride and our joy. Finally, we could not bear it any longer, so we decided to stay on alone in Athens while we sent Timothy, our brother who works for us. Who works with us for God in preaching the good news about Christ. We sent him to strengthen you and help your faith, so that none of you should turn back because of persecutions. You yourselves know that such persecutions are part of God's will for us. For while we were still with you, we told you ahead of time that we were going to be persecuted. And as you well know, that is exactly what happened. That is why I had to send Timothy. I could not bear it any longer. So I sent him to find out about your faith. Surely it could not be that the devil had tempted you and all our work had been for nothing. Now Timothy has come back, and he has brought us the welcome news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always think well of us and that you want to see us just as much as we want to see you. So in all our trouble and suffering, we have been encouraged about you, brothers. It was your faith that encouraged us, because now we really live in, if you stand firm in your life in union with the Lord. Now we can give thanks to our God for you. We thank him for the joy we have in his presence because of you. Day and night we ask him with all our heart to let us see you personally and supply what is needed in your faith. May our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus prepare the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow more and more and become as great as our love for you. In this way, he will strengthen you, and you will be perfect and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus Christ comes with all who belong to him. So that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2:17 to 3:13. And as we read, you know, Paul loves the Thessalonians with a love that comes from God, and they loved as well. And I've mentioned before that's because of the Holy Spirit in them. They're the new family of God. Paul is demonstrating here the truth of what Jesus said: by this shall all men know that you are my disciples because of your love for one another. This verse was also read out recently. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren, or the brothers and sisters. That's 1 John 3:14. This team, Paul, Silas and Timothy, love because the love of God is put there in their hearts by the Holy Spirit who is in them. And if you want a verse for that one's Romans 5:5, good one to remember. It's a supernatural love that expresses itself naturally. They can't help but love the new believers because of the Holy Spirit. This love is not forced or self-generated. So there's a change in mind, in the mindset, from trying to obey the law to be right with God, to letting the right flow out. You know, out of our hearts will flow living water. So Galatians 3:21-22. Does this mean that the law is against God's promises? No, not at all. For if human beings had received a law that could bring life, then everyone could be put to right with God by obeying it. But the scripture says that the whole world is under the power of sin. And so the gift, which is promised on the basis of faith in Jesus Christ, is given to those who believe. Or different words that someone said recently, it's about grace. Notice that the team told the Thessalonians about persecutions, and we read that in verse 3, so that none of us should turn back because of these persecutions. We sent Timothy so that none should turn back because of these persecutions. You yourselves know that such persecutions are a part of God's will for us. So So they didn't sort of go and say, oh yeah, come to Jesus, everything's going to be fine, it's the best way to live. And yeah, it is, but it doesn't mean everything's going to be fine. So the apostles, and Timothy and Silas, Paul, Timothy and Silas were thrown out of Thessalonica, out of the town. Then they went to Berea, and people from Thessalonica came down there to Berea, and only Paul got sent. He got sent down to Athens. Then they took him down to Athens. So the persecution came from non-believers, and that's what happens. The section of scripture we've read in chapter 3 finishes with the promise of Jesus coming back again. Actually, Jesus coming back again appears in every chapter in 1 Thessalonians. And in chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, it says, all those people speak about how you received us when we visited you, and how you turned away from idols to God to serve the true and living God, and to wait for his Son to come from heaven, his Son Jesus, whom he raised from death and who rescues us from God's anger that is coming. God's anger, that's not like a human anger. In the Old English, it might say wrath or wrath. In the older English, it was spelt with an O, and nowadays English is spelt with an A. And it's not really, it's not anger like we think of people getting angry. And it's more, like I mentioned before, God so loved the world that he has to judge. Otherwise, he wouldn't be loving. And this is why Jesus is our substitute, which is a good thing. I like the way the NLT puts verse 10. It says, and they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He is the one who rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. Chapter 2, verse 19 mentions Jesus coming again. After all, it is you no less than others, who are our hope, our joy, and our reason for boasting of our victory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes. And chapter 3, verse 13. May the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow more and more and become as great as our love for you. In this way, he will strengthen you. So I guess as we love others, God will strengthen us. You know, as we work out what God's worked in, it's sort of, it's not like the Dead Sea, it's in and out. And the out is by one of the ways the outworking is by loving others. As you know, the Dead Sea, only water flows in, and that's the salty one that you can float on. And the sad thing about it is that it's, there's, because it's so salty, there's no life in it. Yeah. So in this way, he will strengthen you, and you will be perfect and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all who belong to him. So part of loving other people is sharing the good news of Jesus, because it's, such an amazing message and it brings life to people. And it's the good news of life, the message of Jesus, life in ourselves and life in people who hear it and respond to it. It's about eternal life, and it's about a relationship. So as we go, similar to what Deborah said last week, let's ask God for help to do this and to share with others, and to be confident that this is God's will for all of us. Thanks, Caroline. I'll close in prayer. Okay, so I'm going to close the meeting in prayer now. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Jesus, that you love us all and you care about us and you love everyone, Lord, on the planet. And, Lord, we thank you, God, that you're, because of that, you deal justly. And, Lord, we thank you that Jesus took our judgment and that he died on the cross so we can be forgiven of sins. And we have a right standing with you because of what Jesus has done. And Lord, help us to take your truth to other people and to love them and listen to them and care about them, Lord, and so that they can experience new life in you and have eternal life. Lord, we thank you for your truth, and we pray and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, please welcome to stick around for a cuppa and perhaps a little bite to eat. And while I'm talking about a bite to eat, remember to do with the AGM as well. Is anyone fill us in on the rules there about the savoury stuff to do with COVID regulations? So we might hear some more news about that later on. And I think last AGM we did things a little bit differently. So we might be doing that again, but we'll hear more about that later. Okay, thank you.